Hi, welcome to another episode of Startup Out of the Box with Vitor Domingos and Marco Silva.
On this episode, we'll discuss if startups should be going to events. If they go, how do they take advantage of going into those events? And some books that we think that are interesting for our readers and our watchers on YouTube. So going back to the events, so what do you think that startups, what kind of events should startups go if they are in Europe?
So, well, this would be my advice for any startup, wherever they are. So focus on industry-specific events. Don't go to generic events. By this means, like, if you're in the industry of insurance or retail or AI, go to events focused on those kind of topics, because that's where you're going to learn much more and how to improve your business, how to improve your algorithms, or understand a bit better the market. If you go to generic events, whatever they are, you will
waste time.
They might not be interesting to you. They might not have any topic that you're interested in, and your time is valuable when you're building a startup, being that your personal time, because it's valuable, but also time from the company. So that would be my first advice, specific types of events.
Should you have your own booth there, or should you just hustle throughout the entire event and get your way through?
My experience of doing that once and talking to other people is just go to the event. Don't pay for the booth. The booth is really cute. You have your space there. People will talk to you. You can share cards. But reality, you won't take advantage of the event, because you have to ensure that you're always there, or at least someone from your team is always there. And if you do your homework before, you can just target the people that you know that will be interested. Just share on the social media that you're going to be at the event, and if people will find you interesting, they will find you. I don't see really much value on having a booth in an event.
Well, you went to Web Summit once a few years ago, right? There's Web Summit also in Portugal, which seems to be quite interesting at the moment. But I do believe that from our personal kind of experience, we went twice to the... Well, I went more, but at least you went twice with me to the Next Web event in Amsterdam. And it was quite, my kind of personal opinion on that is that it was rather interesting. Well, the first year, second year was a bit strange because it was more than a show and not an event. So a lot of stuff happening at the same time, DJs and stuff like that. But the first three years ago, it was quite interesting because there were a lot of networking. There were a lot of people showing their own startups, a lot of Portuguese startups as well there, showing their own products, and it had that kind of the whole structure and the whole organization was towards people meeting each other and not actually having in their own booths and showing stuff. So it has this kind of different experience from what I see and what I hear from Web Summit. Yeah. Right? What do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. The last Web Summit was a bit too much, too many things happening at the same time. A lot of tracks, different topics, and you get a bit lost between going to the different tracks, and I think it was a bit too overwhelming. I do enjoy their concept. It's more focused. They don't try to sell it as the biggest and best thing in the world like the Web Summit, and I think I prefer that environment where it's more, let's say, more cozy.
Yeah, because back in Amsterdam, there were a lot of places that you can sit and have these kind of informal meetings, because if you just went to the event, actually, you can do anything, right? So if you go to the main,
main stage,
the main stage, and see those keynotes there, actually, you're gonna, I would say, learn something, but lose a lot of time, because you need to be there, you need to be listening, right? You need to look at the trends, but it's pretty much kind of generic kind of talk that you get from there. What you can gain from the whole event is the experience and exchange of meeting people and talking about stuff and talking about your startup. So we have the Web Summit and we have the Next Web back here in Portugal. Globally, there's a lot of others, but there's also the ones that you usually see on Eventbrite and meetups, quite smaller, probably more interesting for startups to just get track and get kind of that kind of knowledge of how things operate, how can they pitch their own startup, do these kind of experiments before they go to the main conferences.
Yeah, the meetups, they tend to be more focused, more tech, or, well, more focused, not because they're not just tech. They can be for whatever topic it is. And they usually, because it's a smaller crowd, we're talking about maybe 50 to 60 people. Again, in London, okay, we're talking about 100 to 300 people, some of them.
Yeah.
But they are usually really specific and really concrete examples of what companies should do. But at the same, they can happen quite regularly. In London, you can have a meetup every single day.
Yeah.
So you can waste a lot of time. So I did that when I moved here to London in my first 2 months, because I wanted to learn a bit more about the industry, about how London works, the community. I was going to events maybe 3 times a week. And I got to put it as like, okay, this is enough. Most of these events, after some time, are just pointless for me. I'm not learning what I should, what I thought I would be learning. So nowadays, I'm really
focused
about on which meetups I want to go. So maybe nowadays I go to a meetup like once a month, and that's it. Because there's no point of going to like one every like 2 week, like two events every week or every week. Just focus on the ones that you know that these will give me value. Because most of them, they will give you value if you're junior, more advanced. If you really know something about it, you want to learn even more. There are not many events that will give you that. So,
well, for me, I think that we need to find the balance of knowing the event itself, knowing who is there, first of all. Secondly, if you're a startup, you need to hustle. So you need to go to most of the events. You need to be there. You need to find out what the event suits you most. How can you meet these people? But also have this kind of balance between go to the events and also have time for yourself, have time for the family, have time for... do your own stuff, not just go for every single event that that needs to be out there. And probably place your safest bet on the largest event, but draw a plan, right? So go there to meet someone specifically, have a plan. Don't go there, don't get some booth babes and booths. So just go there with a specific plan, right?
Because you can see before going to the event, you can have a list of all the attendees.
Yeah.
So do your homework and look if there's anyone that you would like to meet at that event. Send them a message before you go there. Yeah. Or if you're not able to contact them, like once you're there, look for them. But don't spend a lot of time and wasting time talking to these people that won't give you any value out of it.
As an example, on the Next Web, you have an internal network that is pretty much active since when you get the ticket.
Yeah.
And then you can just hustle throughout the entire network and start meeting people and doing stuff and start sending messages
to them. In the Next Web, I believe I spoke was in person to 3 or 4 different people, different persons, and we organized that before the event started. So once we got there, we already knew, like, okay, I want to talk to this, and this about these topics. Well, let's just see when once we are free to get together and have a drink while we talk. So that way, and it was pretty good because of that.
Yeah. So bottom line, there is some pros going to these events. There are some stuff that you need to take care of and take attention and plan your journey throughout those main events.
Yeah.
But don't bet too much on them. Probably go to the small ones there. You can just... fill the ground and start working your way through.
Yeah, because it can be a circus.
It is. So, the next thing on our agenda is, well, it was pretty much this one about events.
Yeah.
Next one is about some recommendations because we did that on the last episode.
Yeah, this episode is going to be quite short.
It is.
A bit of short on time, so it's going to be a quick one.
Just about one theme, about events. We can talk about events throughout the entire week. There's a lot of stuff. But recommendations, books. So Tools for Titans from Timothy Ferris.
Yeah. Or Tim Ferris. Yeah.
Ferris. Have you read the book?
Yep. And you also have it there?
I know, but...
you haven't touched it.
Yeah, I know. I have a bunch of books to read. As you can see, they grow. It's a growing pile every single day. Yeah.
Okay. So my review from Tool of Titans. A lot of interesting stuff there. So... as a summary to explain what Tool of Titans is, Tim Ferriss, he has a podcast for a couple of years, interviews a lot of people worldwide, famous from different areas. They're from developers to movie stars, from actors, scientists. So he decided to compile the best moments from each podcast in his book. So the learnings that he got from them.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn quite a lot of interesting things reading this book, even from a lot of people you admire. So each interview you chapter
yeah
person chapter. Is around like 5 pages or quite easy to read. There's not a story, so you can jump between them, but there's also a lot of weird stuff there, especially in the health section. So for me, the health section was kind of like, okay, I'm just gonna read some stuff. I'm talking about ways to keep your breathing, like without breathing for 5 minutes and taking drugs to improve your mental state. Like, yeah, this is a lot of weird stuff. Over here.
California man, right?
Yeah, basically that. but on the business side, it's quite interesting. A lot of interesting interviews from Arnold Schwarzenegger to Sam Altman from Markham and Eyre. So it's a good book just to read skip, yeah. and get some tips out of it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the next one is one of my favorites, which is The Art of the Startup from Guy Kawasaki. So Guy Kawasaki was one of the first Apple evangelists.
Yep.
Then he worked for, I think it was Microsoft, I don't remember. But it was one of the first Apple evangelists. So he's quite well known. He worked with a bunch of startups back in the United States. He has his own stuff now. But he has an interesting book of how should you start your own startup, right? What are the steps? What should you take what should you pay attention for? How can you hustle throughout the entire... let's say, go to the events and that kind of stuff. So it's a good perspective on how to build a startup, how to start things, and how to get your ideas and thoughts together to actually do stuff. Yeah,
it's more focused on the human side of it and not on the tech side, because on the tech side, there's already a lot of stuff out there. And it's quite an easy read. And this is the edition, the 2.0. So because the first book, the first Art of Startup was released in the 90s. Yeah. Or beginning of 2000.
I have both. But yeah, carry on.
And yes, the new one.
Just the new revision, yes. More modern times. Yeah.
And the last book is Rework by Jason Freud. So he's from 37 Signals, now called Basecamp. And they are one of those companies that are outspoken against how Silicon Valley traditionally works. So VC money, how to create a startup, things like that. So this is their perspective of how to create their own company. So this is the story of how they created Basecamp and their learnings out of it. So they're sharing their perspective of this is how we did it, this is what didn't work, this is that worked, so this is what we advise you to do. And it gives a lot of, it's quite an easy read. Gives you a good insight on things that work, and it's also a lot of focus on the people, because that's the main thing for a startup. And to give you some good advice, focusing on execution, focusing on time, like what's the important thing that you should wait for the product to be perfect, or just release it, it's good enough, so let's work on that. Like I said on the previous episode, you have a business. It's not a startup, it's a business. This is not a side project. No. You want to make money out of it, and you have to pay salaries, and you have clients. And I don't focus on hiring. Because it's something that most people don't talk to. They would talk to you about creating a startup. Yeah, this is what you do to create it. This is, you have to focus about marketing. But hiring is one of the most difficult things. And they give some pretty interesting advice on that side.
Okay. So, and the last recommendation that we have, it's an article from Wired magazine, which is, the title is How to Win Founders and Influence Everybody. So it's quite interesting because it's a long article of the people that work with founders from Y Combinator and other stuff, and how they coach those founders to actually go to events, go to meetings, and influence people. How to have your own language, have your own body expressions. How can you gather someone's attention? Mm-hmm. So it's quite an interesting article that you folks can read and have a thought about it. So good one. We're going to put that on. Yeah. Also, we put the links. Yes. That's pretty much it. This was the startup out of the box.
In steroids.
Exactly. Fast edition.
Yep.
See you next time.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.